I pray for Rebecca this morning. She was huffing, but she's working with some glue and epoxies and really knocked herself for a loop. So she is really sick. So just pray for her and she gets that out of her system. So no junior church. So Lauren, you're stuck with me for two services. So you're going with Miss Susan? Oh, you make sure you thank Miss Susan. Save you from me. Somehow I think there's a little sarcasm in that. Three Bibles, please. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to finish off the chapter, Lord willing, this morning. And we start talking about the idea of grace. Of grace. And I'll tell you, I love grace. I love it when I don't get what I deserve. Because oftentimes what I deserve isn't good. Right? I know it's never happened to you, but I've in the past been driving down the road probably just a little too fast, and you see the little blue lights, and you come up, and you know, I've learned a few things over the years. You know, they come up and they ask you, you know why I pulled you over? Don't say anything, because I don't want to give it away. You know, so it's like, oh, well, sir, you were speeding. You know how fast you were going? Well, no. You know, which maybe that's a lie. I probably have a rough idea. And, and I'm like, okay, he goes back, look you up, and, when they come up and they'll say, okay, I'll just give you a warning. Yeah, yes. I love grace. Right? When someone's kind to you, gives you something you don't deserve, grace is a wonderful thing. And we started talking about the grace of God. And Peter wraps up this letter because he knows, these Christians are facing a tough time. And the only solution truly is God. We talk about our nation and all that's going on, right? You can do the laws and get the right people in office, you do all that. But folks, without God, what do we have? And that's a big part of the problem that's going on today. And as Christians, he's encouraging us as we go out into this world to be established, be firm in the grace that God has given us. So much so that even when we're in I don't know what to do all the time. You know, I don't know about you, but you wrestle with what's the right thing? Am I going to mess up? And God says, come. And I have grace. I have grace for you. And we have this wonderful power of grace in our lives. Grace is often described as God's riches at Christ's expense. Right? You ever heard that acronym? And it sounds really nice, but kind of like, okay, what does that mean? That we have all the gifts of God, all because, not because I'm wonderful, not that I deserve grace. Every once in a while you'll hear about a politician or a celebrity who gets themselves in trouble and they pull out that, well, you know who I am, right? As we come before God and what we look at, what we truly deserve, folks, we don't deserve anything. And sometimes we put up that self-righteous act and, God, look at all the things I've done for you, or Lord, I'm such a good person. And folks, it doesn't take long to slice through that and realize, man, I'm a sinner. And I struggle. And that, in that, I need God's grace in the midst of it all. I'm going to kind of use a slightly different definition of grace. I said grace is the power and ability of God to operate through us. All right? Grace is the power and ability of God to operate through us. Think about it. When God created us, He built us to have a relationship with Him. And because of our sin, we block that. The Bible says we are spiritually dead. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We are broken. And what's God going to do with that? Pretty soon. Does anyone have their Christmas tree up? Okay, well, good. I don't really care. I was talking to someone, they're putting their trees up and stuff like that. And I'm like, wait, there's Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving. We still got another holiday before it, right? And but you know, you turn around and you open up all your boxes, and you find all the ornaments, and you find the things that are broken. I remember growing up, you know, we had, you know, five kids in the home, and I don't remember my mom buying ornaments. I remember garland, tinsels. I remember the old tinsel. And in our house, we had to put it on one strand at a time, which for kids, it's, right? But so in our house, most of the ornaments that we had were things that were made by us kids. We probably had more macaroni in the box than she did in the cupboard, right? And things we had built over the years and made over the years. And I remember each year open it up and there'd be things that didn't survive the packing and unpacking. And I remember my mom looking at some of these things and like, what do I do with this? You know? And us kids are like, get rid of it. You know, I don't want my, you know. And she's like, oh, you know, John, you made this when you were 5 years old. And then, you know, right? You know? And folks, as God looks at us and we are broken, it's God's grace that pours out into us that we can be used by Him. Even the fact that we are loved is a matter of God's grace, because I am not a lovely person. God doesn't have to love me, but He chooses to. Right? He chooses to love you. That is God's grace. And the fact that God wants to not just love us, but use us and have a relationship with us. These are all elements of how great He is. As we're in this world and going through it, I don't know about you, but like I said, oftentimes I'm lost. Oftentimes, what's the right thing to do? Where should I go? And what should I say? And sometimes the old flesh gets in and I say things I shouldn't say. I have attitudes that I really probably shouldn't have. And yet God still says, you know what? I love you, I want to use you. Grace is the ability of the power and the ability of God to operate through us, despite us. That's a wonderful thing. The Bible tells us about grace, and first of all, we are saved by grace. Right? We talk about sin breaks us. We were born separated from God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We are all separated from God, and yet God chooses to save us. You know, we're all destined for the trash bin because we're broken. And the Bible says, you guys know this verse, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for grace have you been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That God sent His Son, Jesus, into this world, and He died on the cross, not for anything He did, but for you and for me. Think about that. It was your sin, it was my sin that put Him on the cross. That's grace. Because you don't deserve it. I don't earn it. That's what He talks about here. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Right? Isn't that, hey, God, you know, you're so lucky to have me on your team. Not at all. But that God will love a sinful sinner like me and you is by God's grace. Paul told the Romans this, is for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel, not be ashamed of it. Because it's the power of God. I am a sinner. Saved by grace. Right? And sometimes those are words hard for us to come out of our lips, because I'm not so bad. Right? You know, I'm better than you. Or you're better than me. Or you're better than the guy down the road. We're not the standard. And folks, the power of God, I think especially in this nation, we can't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus saved sinners. That Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood for you and for me. He paid the price. You know, that's a really unpopular message now. But folks, help us to stand on that. That's grace. Because it's the power of God that flows through us because of who we are. Not because of what I've done, but because of what He's done for me. Grace saves us. It is what brings us to God. He says we are kept by grace. Right? Now I'm saying, maybe you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says, Jesus, yes, I'm a sinner. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Now what? And I think I had a hard time with this. I grew up in church. I accepted Christ when I was like 5 years old. Then at that point, I think a lot of church was just telling me to be a good person. You had to be good enough. Right? And I don't know about you, but even after you're saved, I wrestle with being good enough. And so sometimes we play this little game. We put on this facade. Right? We learn how to act a certain way. But folks, we're hurting inside. We struggle inside. We have fears. We have doubts. And thankfully, the grace that saves us is the grace that keeps us. Paul told the Corinthians, the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For I am weak. When I am weak, then I am strong." Folks, when we are weak, when we acknowledge, I can't do this, when we come down to the point, God, I am at the end of myself. I can't be good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. When we come to that point, then we come to God and He turns on His grace through us. I think one of the problems is that we tend to be strong. I got this. I know what to do. God, I don't need You. The best place we can be is say, God, I need You. And He says His grace is sufficient for all our, what, needs. And I'll tell you, pride comes up and oftentimes I wonder if my real attitude is, God, do I really need You or do I got this? How bad does it have to be before I need God? I look at this country and where it's going. I've talked to more Christians who are praying. I said, you know, I'm praying more now than I ever have. Good. You feel like you're losing control. That is when we surrender to God and say, God, we need Your grace. It says in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. When we are pressed on every side, when we say, God, I can't do this anymore, that opens up the gateway for grace for God to work in and through us. When we come to the end of ourselves, then God takes control. And unfortunately, oftentimes, He's our last resort. We come to Him when we come to the end of our rope instead of at the beginning of it all. We do it in our own power, in our own wisdom, saying, God, I need Your grace. And He does. He meets these needs. His power becomes greater in our lives when we become weaker. And He keeps us by His grace. And lastly, the idea of grace is to be served by grace. You know, a lot of people now, you know, with this, all that's going on with the coronavirus and everything that's going on, people are like, what can I do? Keep serving God. No matter who ends up in the White House, the church's job, your job as a Christian hasn't changed. It's to serve God. It's to tell others about Him. Right? Now, I'll tell you, it can be harder or it can be easier. And you know what? I like easy. But God hasn't always called us to an easy road. And actually, you go throughout church history, you know when the church has grown? Is when it's been persecuted. Why? Because God's grace comes in. He keeps us. And Christians are empowered by God's grace. In the book of Acts, as the gospel started to go out, as the church was just newly formed, it says here, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord. And great grace was upon them all. As we share the gospel, as we talk about things. You know, I mentioned this week, I just had an opportunity to talk to someone and have a real pointed conversation. We were totally opposite ends of the spectrum on almost everything. And all I kept coming back to is, this is what the Bible says. And at one point he was like, well, what do you believe? I said, well, this is what the Bible says. No, what do you? I believe what the Bible says. He goes, I'm going to have to think about that. I'm going to stand on the Word. I'm going to stand with God. And God, I can't do it on my own. I need you to help me. But help me serve. Help me be a witness. And it may get difficult in the days ahead. I can probably guarantee it. It's going to get harder for us as Christians to stand on the Word of God. The pressures, and sometimes the price is going to be great. You know, I think of parents who are going to have to make a decision. We're going to stand on what the Bible says. No matter the cost. And in this, God can give us great power and great boldness. In some ways, I think there's sort of this breaking away that God is using all of this to kind of break away His church from all the political powers. Because we're not going to fit in anywhere. And Lord, I need your power, and He will give us that. We see the early church, it grew under persecution, under threats, under distress. The Christians were stoned, were crucified, were burnt, were thrown to lions, all these things, and yet the church grew. Why? Because of God's grace. Became so real. Paul continues to the Corinthians. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that always, having all sufficiency in all things, you may have abundance of every good work. God's grace gives us abundance. And he's not talking about money. You know, there's people out there that want sort of this prosperity gospel that, look, if you love God, that he'll just go just dump money your way. And the flip side of that is, if you don't have money, then you're not blessed of God. No, let me tell you something. It doesn't work that way. When God talks about abundance in our lives, what he's talking about are things like joy, love, peace, which are greater than any amount of money that we can have. You want an abundant life? A life that's filled with joy? Allow God's grace into your life. Realize I need you, Lord. Help me be close to you. Renew my mind and thoughts. And as these waves of grace come over us, we will realize all that we have in Him. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Give me an abundant life. Now we are in 1 Peter chapter 5. I am going to get to it. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11.
It says, but may the God of all grace, this is what we're talking about, right? The God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace. Christian, don't be looking to the world to satisfy you. Don't be looking for Augusta and for Washington and the legal system and all these things. They don't have the answers. It's all Christ. It's all through God, the God of all grace. He's the source of it all. And I don't know about you, but with all that's going on, sometimes my eyesight drifts to other things. And Jesus says, look to me. Keep my eyes focused on him, the God of all grace. And here he tells us, first of all, he says that we're going to suffer for a little while. And Peter knew this. Right? Some of these Christians were going to end up giving their lives. But folks, in the scope of eternity, what we're going through now is just a blip. And it seems so long. It seems so long while we're enduring it. But folks, the life we're in right now is it's just a little part of the grander scheme of things. But anyway, we talk about the work of grace in our lives. The first one is perfect. Maybe your Bible translation has the word restore. Then in here, that God takes what's broken and makes it well. I'm broken. You know, there's... I think this is where sometimes what keeps us from the joy that God has before us is our own pride. I'm okay. I don't need any help. Right? Have you ever tried to come across someone who really needed help but refused to take it? If you dealt with kids, you know what this is like. Right? I mean, oldest was real famous for, I do this myself. Oh, you little brat. I mean, I love you, dear, but you know, it's like, no, you don't have this. I do it myself. Tying shoes. She was a great knot tier. Right? I do it. You know, let me help you. No. Folks, as Christians, sometimes we're like stubborn little kids. That in here, God, I can't do it. And I think maybe all of this that's going on in your life, maybe has brought you to that. I can't do this anymore. You know, I don't have it all together. I don't have all the answers. God, I need you. And that's what he talks about here, that God restores. That in here, God brings us back to that place. He says in Ecclesiastes, he makes everything beautiful in his time. God wants to take your life and turn it into something beautiful, into a testimony for him. You know, this afternoon we're going to have a funeral for Jan Phillips. And ever since I've known her, she's had so many physical problems. And so I've seen her in the hospital, I don't know how many times over the last couple of years, and talked to her. And you know what? She was one of those ladies that, in the midst of her struggle, you walked out blessed. Her love for the Lord was just overwhelming. And this week, she went home with the Lord, and her arthritis is gone, and she's whole. She's beautiful. God can take all the things in our life, all the brokenness and all the hurt and all the struggle. If we're willing to be honest and pour it out to him, he will make beautiful things of our lives. Book of Revelation, at the end of the book, it says that when he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things what? New. I make all things new. You know, there's going to be a time when all things will be wiped away. Jesus says every tear will be wiped from our eyes. What a day that's going to be. If we will lay our broken lives before Him, He will restore us. He makes all things new. Praise the Lord. This is where sin abounds. Grace much more abounds. Maybe you just are wrapped up in sin. Maybe there's a sin that's been holding you down, that's got a hold on you. And, you know, maybe it's a private sin. Maybe no one else knows. And you're so busy keeping on that facade. And you carry that weight of that burden in your life. Praise God that His grace is greater than all your sins. You know, over the years, I've talked to people and they said, you know, I couldn't come to church, or God wouldn't want me because I have X sin in my life. You don't know what I've done. And I don't need to know. I don't want to know. But praise God that His grace is greater than your sins. If you will lay it down at the cross, acknowledge it to Him, and He will restore you. He will make you perfect. Second thing, work of grace, talks about being perfect, talks about being established. The idea of being established here, Peter uses the word that means resolute. I am persuaded, the Bible says, that neither death nor life, nor the angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, there is nothing, I am persuaded, there is nothing that will separate you from the love of God. No matter what you've done, He loves you. In your deepest heart, in your wickedest thoughts, He loves you still. You know, if you really knew what I was like, probably many of you wouldn't want anything to do with me. And yet God knows it all. And He calls me His child. That is grace. He will in no wise cast us out. If you let Him down, He still loves you. If you failed, He loves you. I am resolute in that. Not to take advantage of it. Right? Say, oh, God's going to love me no matter what. Aha, look at this. I'm going to, you know, right? That's all I'm saying. But in our struggles, in our doubts, in our fears. Because sometimes, like I said, you know, who am I going to tell? Right? If I talked about my struggle, if I talk about what really is on my mind, who would stick around? Yet the grace of God pours out greater than all your sin. The grace of God, I am persuaded, will never fail. And that makes me resolute in my life. That makes me to stand on Him. Because in this world, where else is there? Who else will love me this way? Who else cares for me except for Jesus? Why would I go off and follow any other philosophy, any other idea? Why would I take Jesus and throw Him under the bus? Because no one else offers the grace. So stand. Be established. Be resolute. Peter goes on and says, not only be perfect, but established, but then to strengthen. The term here has the idea of being empowered. He empowers us. How many times a week the alarm goes off in the morning and you're like, I don't want to do this today. Right? Here we go again. Right? Turn on the TV. You guys know I'm a news junkie. And I've gotten to a point where I don't even want to turn on the news now. I just don't have it in me. Right? Someone's like, oh, yeah, have you heard the latest?
No.
I just don't want to anymore. I just can't.
Years ago, I talked to a mother who locked herself in the bathroom. When her husband came home, the kids had a box of cereal in the middle of the living room, sprued out all over the place, and the kid's in there, and she's in there sobbing. He's knocking, it's like, honey? He knocks on the door. She goes, I just can't anymore. I just can't. Sometimes we do is we take the weight of the world and we lay it upon our shoulders. Right? Or maybe some of you are in the same boat as me. I'm a pleaser and a fixer by nature. And you try to please, right? In the family, I was the pleaser. And how can I make this all better? And folks, there is some things that we just can't make better. And you know what? It's not our job to do that. We take that weight and we lay it upon our shoulders. And Lord, I need your power to take it and lay it down. And Lord, help me to do what I need to do, what you ask me to do. But what I can't do, Lord, I lay it at your feet. God, I leave it there. Grace. Grace. When I say I can't anymore, God says, my child, it wasn't yours to begin with. Leave it there. Yeah, but God, right? Like I said, the TV. Oh, God, look at God. God, he goes, You know what? I know. Do what I ask you to do, God says to me. God, I need your strength. He tells the Philippians that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is one of those verses I always kind of snicker at, because you often see it on muscle shirts. And you see the guys at the gym trying to lift a heavy weight. Oh, I can do all things through Christ. You know, that's not what, to me that's a weak grace. Like, God's not going to try to empower you to do 1,000 sit-ups. Right? That's not what that verse is talking about. Actually, the book of Philippians is a book about joy. In the midst of it all. That God, if I am doing what you want me to do, and I am following you, at the end of the day, I don't know what you're doing, God, but you know what? I can do what you ask me to do. And God gives us that power, enables us. He strengthens us. The problem is you're trying to do it in your own strength. You're trying to fix it. And what that does is cuts us off from God's grace. Lastly, what Peter says here is to be perfect, to be established, to be strengthened and settled. The idea of the settled has to do with that foundation. What are we standing on? I think as Christians, especially American Christians, we've kind of been really sort of fat and happy. We'd be able to stand on our Christianity, and we'd be able to stand in the world's philosophies, and we'd be able to straddle that fence for a while. But I think what's happened is our culture is going further and further, and we're getting to a point where we need to decide, Lord, I'm going to stand on you. Lord, I will hold to your word. I will call what you call sin, sin. But Lord, help me to stand on you. Psalm 61, I love this verse. It says, from the end of the earth, I will cry out to you. When my heart is overwhelmed. Do you ever feel that way? Is this you? Is this your verse? From the end of the earth I will cry out to you, and when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
So what? Master, what are you talking about? See, you got to understand, in that part of the world, everything's sand. Everything sifts and blows. Talked to a gentleman who was over in Iraq, and he goes, it was sort of disorientating. He goes, could you go out there and, you know, now you hang over and see the big dune over there? You take a left at the big dune. Well, the next day the wind would blow. That big dune's not there anymore. But that's why the Bible talks so much about rocks, because they don't move. They're solid. They're sure. Folks, Jesus is the rock of our salvation. And He's higher than I. When I can't go, when the floodwaters are getting up to here, when the pressures are getting up to here, you ever felt that way? You just felt like you're kind of treading water, and you're going, oh, I just fucked myself up. Right? You ever felt that way? When the floods come in, what He says is, go on the rock that is higher than me. Lord, let me cry up on You. Let me stand on You. Jesus said, if you do God's word, you're like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the winds and rains came down, and the house stood firm. Christian, I think some of us are exhausted. Some of us are worn out. Some of us are at the end of the rope because we've been standing on ourselves and not on the rock. He is greater than my circumstances. He's greater than the pressures of this world. And Peter wraps things up here in verses 12 to 14. He says, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is true grace of God in which you stand. And Paul says, look, you know what? I have witnesses that what I've written here is true. This is the grace of God, the power of God that can flow through us if we will let Him, if we will yield our life to Him, if we will kneel at His cross. It says, she who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greet you. And I think the she here is talking about the church in Babylon. I think it's talking about Rome, that wicked city. We're not alone. I think in this, as Paul wraps this up, folks, we're not alone. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a pastor's fellowship, and we went around the table kind of talking about what's going on in our churches with the whole COVID thing. And I came to my turn, and I shared a little bit. I said, you know one thing that's nice? You guys' churches are messed up too. You know, we're not alone. The struggle we have, what you're going through, you know, we're not called to be alone. So she who is in Babylon, the church in Rome, we greet you, as does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Now, I'm not encouraging you all to smooch this morning. Actually, culturally, that time, I remember there was a gentleman who was turned around and was trying to teach all the girls and said, well, the Bible says to kiss each other. That's not what he's talking about here. Actually, in the Midwest, in the Middle East, it was guys who would do the hug and the kiss the cheek. Today we would handshake, or maybe now with the whole thing, the elbow bump, whatever you want to do. The idea here, folks, the body of Christ, we need each other. As these days get darker, who do I seek advice after? Not the world. Seek it from other Christians. Well, I need encouragement. I need a network of believers who will pray for me. What can I do for you? You know what I need? I need Christians who need as much grace as I do. Right? I need Christians that are willing to give grace. As God would let that flow through them to me. As Paul wraps up this book, he starts off with a reminder of all that we have in Christ, folks. Keep your eyes on the prize. In the midst of all these things, help us behave as Christians. But never forget who we are. We are followers of Jesus Christ. Keep our eye on the leader. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace that you've given us. Lord, in our weakness, in our frailties, in our failures, in our sin, Lord, your grace abounds more and more if we will come to you. Honestly and openly, Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. Help us to follow you. We ask this in your name.